Dads and ladies, welcome to the Junior Classics.
Hi there, I'm Sir Bradley Hassey, a teller of borrowed tales. Join me as I share stories of courage, adventure, and wonder. But don't take my word for it. You can find out for yourself on today's Junior Classic.
For what purpose do you come?
I'm a master builder.
How long will a fortress take to build?
Down below, there is a delightful green meadow.
Take that for your wages.
Greetings, junior scholars. I am Sir Bradley Hassey, guardian of the written word and your guide through the Junior Classics. Our mission is to safeguard the classics and inspire children to a love of good reading and a real and lasting interest in literature and history. If this is your first time listening, thank you for joining us, and a very special thank you to my loyal listeners who tune in each and every episode, and especially my Patreon supporters who help keep the show going and growing. If you like what we are doing, creating stories for the good of your kids, consider supporting me on Patreon for $5 a month. The best way to help the show, though, is to tell a friend and ask them to listen. If you want to reach me, send me a letter to P.O. Box 1153, Crown Point, Indiana 46308. And today I have some special shout-outs to listeners who mailed in art projects. First, we have Charles Graff from Wimberley, Texas, and Elizabeth McDougall from Ontario, Canada, with drawings of Why the Woodpecker Has Red Feathers. And we have James Pullman from Fort Wayne, Indiana, with a drawing of Manabozho and the Wolf. And finally, Jezreel and Raphael Rimmer from Mechanicsville, Virginia, for their drawings from Scarface and the Medicine Lodge. Wonderful artwork, Junior Scholars. Your bookmarks are in the mail. Now remember, any listener who sends in an art project based on a story will in return receive some Junior Classics bookmarks. Today, we continue Northern Sagas with the myth how a giant built a fortress for the Asas. But before we get to the story,
lost and found words!
Listen carefully to these words and their meanings and try and spot them during the story. Our first word today is parley with a P. Parley is a meeting between opposing sides in a dispute, especially a discussion of terms for peace. You could also say negotiation or a powwow. A parley is in progress and the invader may withdraw. Our next word is demur with a D, demur. This means to raise doubts or objections, to protest or refuse. The Asas demurred or protested when the master builder agreed to build a fortress only if his mighty horse would help him. Our third word today is trifling with a T, trifling. This means unimportant or trivial, petty or minor. Loki persuades the gods to make a trifling or minor concession. Our fourth word today is toil with a T, toil. This means to work extremely hard or constantly. The master builder is described as a toiling worker. And our fifth word today is semblance with an S, semblance. This is the outward appearance of something, especially when the reality is different. You could also say facade, front, or veneer. Loki changes his form in the semblance or appearance of a horse. And our last word today is sooth with an S, sooth. Sooth means truth. Pretty easy to remember. Sooth means truth. That's all for today's Lost and Found Words. Now on to the show. Asgard, the celestial stronghold of the Asa tribe of gods and goddesses, is encircled by a high protective wall. This wall defends the Asa from incursions by the giants and other beings who are often the enemies of the gods. But this wall wasn't always there. A certain smith arrived at Asgard one day and offered to build the gods a high wall around their home to protect them from any who might wish them ill. The smith said he could complete his work in a mere 3 seasons, but demanded a steep compensation. The hand of the goddess Freya in marriage, as well as the sun and moon. This is the tale the Northmen tell of how a giant once built a fortress for the Asas. How a giant built a fortress for the Asas. Although their city of Asgard was beautiful beyond compare, the Asas who lived therein could not forget that the race of giants kept unwearying watch to do them despite. Even Allfather Odin was troubled when he remembered Mimir's warning that the draft of wisdom would ever work strife between the races of Asas and giants. And so, at length, the Asas, meeting in their council chamber at the roots of the Tree of Life, resolved that something more should be done to guard themselves. Already, it is true, the watchman Heimdall kept ward over the Rainbow Bridge by night and day, blowing a soft note on his horn to announce the coming or going of the Asas, but prepared to give a terrible blast should any of the Frost Giants attempt to cross the bridge. Heimdall, however, might be overpowered before aid could reach him, and so it was decided to build, just within Asgard, a great fortress, which should be so strong that the Asas could rest safely behind its walls, even if the Frost Giants should invade their city. The next question was, who should build this fortress? None of the Asas knew of a likely architect, and while they were discussing where one should be found, the horn of Heimdall rang out in token of the approach of a stranger. Out rushed the Asas, and there, in parley with Heimdall, stood a gigantic figure with powerful limbs, on which the muscles stood out like ropes of iron. Heimdall was speaking sharply, for he did not altogether like the stranger's look.
"For what purpose do you come?"
he was inquiring.
"I'm a master builder," replied the stranger. "I can build towers and forts more strongly than any other builder in all the world. Have you anything of the kind that wants doing here?"
The eyes of the Asas met as they heard these words, and Odin, stepping forward, said,
"Can you build us a fortress so strong that not all the strength of the Frost Giants could avail against it?"
"Aye, that can I. Look at my strong arms and see the breadth of my chest. If you will set me to work, you shall soon find my worth as a master builder."
"How long will the fortress take to build?"
"I will build it for you in 3 half years.
"And what do you ask as wages?"
said Odin, and the master builder answered promptly,
"You must give me the sun, the moon, and Freya for my wife."
At these words, the Asas, who had been pressing forward to hear the conference, fell back with muttered disapproval. For Freya was the most beautiful maiden in Asgard, the joy and pride of the city, ever young and ever fair. And the sun and moon were the light and life of men in the world below. So they bade the master builder come again next day, and meantime retired to their council hall to consider the matter. Allfather Odin was for sending the builder promptly about his business when he returned for the decision. But his brother Loki counseled a different course. Red Loki was a mischievous, sly fellow, full of wiles and deceit, and always quick to suggest a way out of a difficulty. On this occasion, his plan was to allow the man to build the fortress, and to promise him the terms demanded, but subject to the condition that he fulfilled his task in a way that would be impossible for him to carry out. His eloquence persuaded the Asas, and next day, when the builder returned for their decision, Loki, as their spokesman, called to the mighty fellow as he crossed the bridge.
"Good man, we cannot wait for 3 half years for the completion of our fortress. But if you will undertake to do the work in the course of 1 winter, without any assistance, you shall have Freya, and the sun and moon to boot. If, however, on the first day of summer, one stone is missing from its place, the fortress will be ours without any payment whatever, since you will have broken your plighted word.
At this, the master builder did not look well pleased. He pulled his great beard and eyed the speaker doubtfully, muttering that the time was too short for so great a task. But when Loki pretended to turn away, as though the matter were ended, he called after him.
"Well, have it so. The fortress shall be built in the time you set. But you must at least let me have the help of my good horse, Svelvifari, to carry stone."
When they heard this request, the Asas demurred, saying, "He means to play us some trick." But Loki persuaded them to make this trifling concession.
"For of what use can a horse be in building a fortress? He will never be able to finish the place in time, and we shall get our fort for nothing. At least you can let him have his great clumsy horse for any use that he may be."
So the Asas agreed and went their different ways, leaving the master builder to his work. The winter months passed on, and while the Asas busied themselves with their various occupations and amusements, the master builder was toiling with might and main. But he could have done little in the time if he had not had the help of his wonderful horse, Svelvifari, who not only dragged huge blocks of stone to the spot, but raised them into position with his strong forefeet. And this was done with such speed that some days before the end of winter, the fortress was finished, with the exception of the three blocks of stone which were to form one of the gateways. Then the Asas suddenly realized what was about to happen. In less than 3 days more, the fortress would be finished. It needed, in fact, but one night's work to make all complete. They remembered with horror the price they had undertaken to pay, the loss not only of Freya, fairest of maidens, but also a sun and moon, whose light was the joy of their life and the necessity of mankind. "It is Red Loki," said they, "who has brought us to this sad pass." So they began to reproach him very bitterly, threatening even to kill him if he did not find some way to evade the loss which threatened them. At length, being really frightened, Loki promised to do something, anything, that would prevent the master builder from finishing the work during the 3 days that yet remained of winter. That same night, good Svelvifari was painfully dragging a great block of stone along the path to the new built fortress, when Red Loki changed into the semblance of a pretty little gray mare, came running up, saying as plainly as horses can speak,
"Down below there is a delightful green meadow. Do come with me and take a holiday from this everlasting work."
Scarcely had he heard her neigh when the steed kicked off his harness, left the block of stone to roll down the steep hill, and rushed after the mare. Away ran Loki, away ran Svelvifari, and after them rushed the master builder, shouting and yelling in vain. The noise they made was terrific, for the gallop of the horse and the thud, thud of the mighty builder shook the walls of Asgard and made the earth dwellers shrink in terror from what they imagined to be thunderstorms and earthquakes. But the builder never found his horse, for Loki had lured him into a meadow hidden safely away within a secret grove. When the master builder returned to the fortress, the first day of summer had dawned, and lo, the winter was gone, and the gateway of the building was unfinished. Before it stood the Asas, and All-Father Odin greeted the builder.
"See, fellow, here is the first day of summer, and your task is not yet fulfilled. Be gone then from Asgard, for we are free from our bond, and we would have no further dealing with thee or thy evil brood."
Then the builder perceived that Odin knew who he really was, and with a roar of rage, he returned to his own form and stood revealed as a mighty frost giant, almost as huge as the fortress he had built. Shaking his great fist at the Asas, he shouted threateningly,
"Ye have tricked and fooled me enough. Not for nothing does a frost giant stand within the walls of Asgard. Were it not so strongly built, I would now tear down this fortress that I have raised. But your own palaces are not giant built, and see to it that they are not soon tumbling about your ears."
And in good sooth, he might have torn down the valley of the halls of the Asas in his rage, had not Thor, at that moment, dashed up the Rainbow Bridge in his chariot drawn by goats. For all this while, Thor, the strongest of the Asas, had been away on a long journey. And had this not been so, the giants would have had little cause to fear. Springing from his chariot, as the furious giant was about to pull the roof off Valhalla, Thor gave him so mighty a blow on the head with his huge hammer that his skull broke into little bits, and his body fell down into the land of mists.
"Take that for your wages,"
roared Thor as he swung his hammer on high.
"And in the same manner will I repay all the race of the frost giants who seek to set foot in Asgard."
And so, in this way was built for the Asas a fortress so strong that none of the giant folk could dare to raise a hand against it. But always, it lacked the three stones in the gateway, for no one except a frost giant could lift such mighty blocks into place. The end. Next time on the Junior Classics, I will share the tale the Northmen tell of the dwarves and the fairies. Until then, I am Sir Bradley Hess. Be brave, be loyal, and speak the truth.
Parents out there, I want you to understand why we are doing this, what we are trying to achieve, and how you can help us. This is a rescue operation to preserve the classics and the wisdom within before it is lost forever. Our goal is to inspire children with a love of good reading by safeguarding and breathing new life into the greatest stories in history and empower you, the parents, with a resource you can trust to enrich your child's mind and spirit. We don't want these stories and the wisdom within to be forgotten, so our children don't have to learn these lessons on their own. The most important thing you can do for us is to spread the message and tell others about these stories and what we are doing. If you want to donate, we would love that as well. My promise is that 100% of donations will go to building the impact and quality of the Junior Classics. If you have feedback and thoughts on how we can do things better, please send an email to juniorclassicspodcast@gmail.com.
You're listening to the Junior Classics.